powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Excuse me. All right, we're on Roman numeral 7, prayer's objects. And we'll pick up on page 5 of your notes. As is our approach at Maranatha Church, you're given a few moments in which to collect yourself spiritually and otherwise so that you can concentrate on this very important subject. It's one of the main keys to success in the Christian way of life, the doctrine of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the opportunity to assemble ourselves together, to have the freedom and wherewithal to do so in these very lawless times. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. Excuse me. Okay, prayer's objects. Wisdom, divine viewpoint, is arguably the single most important petition you as a believer can offer up. Praying for wisdom. Praying for insight with regard to the plan of God. All topics that are a part of Scripture, and that God will bless you with understanding and wisdom. James 1, verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, and there's always areas where believers lack spiritual insight. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously. If you're on board with it, and that's really what you want, you will be given it generously and without reproach. You won't be put down. Well, why are you so slow? Why didn't you get this? Without reproach, and it will be given to him. In 1 Kings chapter 3, when Solomon assumed the throne after his father David, he prayed for wisdom. He prayed for great wisdom so that he could rule effectively and properly over Israel. And he was given it big time. And this, of course, had to do with his job and making decisions. And there are stories. And his wisdom became, at that time, renown in the world, that he had insight on topics. Yes, he was divinely inspired, but still, he had this wisdom, and individuals traveled some distance to hear him speak. So, be sure that is always on your prayer agenda. Praying for the establishment chain of command, which, of course, might seem a little difficult, but it isn't. We're praying that those that rule, as corrupt as there is in the political realm today, and it hasn't changed, and it isn't going to make any big dramatic change, that we pray for them so that, well, 2 Timothy 2, 1 for 4. Here's what we have. We have our own self-interest. So we can be here tonight. So we can move around and do what we have to do and put Bible doctrine first. Paul says, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, so that we, see, here's our self-interest, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life. Because if the establishment chain of command is all churning and going crazy, it's difficult to lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. I have noticed that we have been able to do this in Maranatha Church in Oklahoma City all these years. We have not had to deal with any significant political or sociological, chaos, as has happened in some other places. Okay, of course, you're supposed to pray for me, and because, and I know this sounds self-centered, but it isn't, the most important person in your life is your pastor teacher. If he's doing his job, then you're going to be okay. So he is very important to you spiritually. His well-being, his ability to study and teach, have the strength and wherewithal to do his job. Romans 15, verse 30. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers. And then he had a specific prayer request because he was in his first Roman imprisonment. That I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea. The Jews, they were out to get him. And that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable. No, he wasn't in prison yet. Excuse me. He was going to Jerusalem, the hotbed of antagonism. One of them, at least, may prove acceptable to God. So that I may come to you, you Romans, the Roman church, in its early stages, in happiness, joy, by the will of God, and find refreshing rest in your company. He's talking about fellowship with these believers he had never been with, and he was praying for this, and you can read the story in Acts how he got there. Riot occurred in Jerusalem, and he was delivered by the Roman soldiers, and they were wanting to, and the Jews were wanting to kill him, and et cetera, et cetera. And they had a trial and all the rest of it, and he played his citizenship card, which any Roman citizen could do. I appeal to Caesar. So they had to get hands off, and they had to transport him to Rome, the capital, and appear before Caesar's court. That's the background on that. So in various places, Paul requests that for prayer. So always keep yours truly on your prayer list, and I know you do, and I thank you. Your pastor teacher. The pastor teacher is to pray for his congregation. These are citations of Paul's prayer on behalf of the Thessalonians in his first and second letters and the Colossians. We are to pray for our living grace. Living grace is the basics that everybody needs. Not the above and beyond basics, but the basics. Today, food, shelter, clothing, transportation, utilities, whatever, that are basic living grace needs. We are to pray for these things. If you're being tested in an area, then up your prayer with regard to that. We are to pray that we make or are on the road or stay on the road to making the maturity adjustment to God. Colossians chapter 4, 12 and 13. And I gave you this one last night. One Epaphras, who is from Colossae and who was with Paul in his Roman imprisonment, who had visited him. He sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers. He's at a distance, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. For I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. The Lord's Prayer is associated with watching. 1 Corinthians 16:22. The right kind of prayer comes from a correct understanding of the pertinent facts. So you pray for the fact as well as for yourself so that you'll not be embarrassed when he comes. 1 Corinthians 16:22. The Lord's return. Well, that's in a lot of different places. Individual believers who are positive but are being tested. And we see that in believers. Sometimes exceptional type testing. The one I want to cite here is 3 John 2. He's writing this letter to a believer called Gaius, an elder in the church. He says, who I love in the truth. There's nothing wrong with telling someone you love them in doctrine, in Christ. Beloved, I pray in all respects that you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. He obviously got news that Gaius was suffering some kind of a physical ailment, but he was doing well spiritually under the testing. We are all of one's cares and concerns with regard to issues. You should keep praying about rather than be discouraged and give up. Keep praying in this regard. And keep praying that you are praying the right thing for the person and that you're basing your prayers on the facts, not supposition. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your anxiety on him. Because he cares for you. God cares for you and I. Keep that in front of you. If you are in the will of God and moving forward, he cares for you. It isn't about your past. It's about the here and now, where you're at spiritually. Yesterday is yesterday and water under the bridge. And that's why we are told we are to forget those things which are behind. And that would basically mean our own failures or the failures of others. We are to drop it, forget it. I've taught this numerous times, this exhortation. And I teach it again, so that you are not dealing with someone based on, or yourself, on past failings. You don't want God dealing with you like that, do you? Of course not. It's the STA that wants to dredge up the past, the dirt, the this, the that, what you did, blah, blah, blah. You got to forgive yourself. And you got to that's what we're all about. One of the jokes in the Fundy Church is that Christians are the only ones that shoot their wounded. Yeah. We don't do that. It's a new day. How do you know that someone isn't going to have gone through something and then really pull it together? And you ought to be for them. Because there isn't some kind of a, well, we're going to put you on a trial basis. That's not what they did with the prodigal son. Well, we'll put you over here and see if you can behave yourself. He was reinstated to his position in the household as one of the two sons of the father in the estate. And was not treated by the father like always looking at him on the stunt that he pulled. These are basic lessons from the Bible. This is how God deals with us. So you're to cast all your cares. You're to pray for your enemies even. And it has to be an intelligent prayer. But antagonists and enemies you pray for. By so doing, you emulate God the Father who provided salvation for his enemies. This applies to those who hate you because of your viewpoint. They're going to get a prayer. Now, it has to be intelligent. You can't pray, God, make them positive. And God will deal and answer it accordingly. You pray for yourself when you're under special testing, of course. We're to pray for the sick. There's even the prayer of faith in James 5:14. I think we only used that once, maybe twice. But no one's come forward and said they want to do it, so we're not looking for anybody. You can read about that. Some prayer promises. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is above and beyond blessings. Various things. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Excuse me. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. It may take a little while, but that's the way it works. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. A lot of verses in this, obviously, so it might be a little... Well, I gave you that one. I give it to you over and over again. But I'll read the verse 6 because this is the important part of the preparation for this. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Stay in your niche. Stay in the situation. Don't try to change it, alter it. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the appropriate time. Vindicate you. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Some prayer promises, Matthew 21:22. The Bible says, all things you ask in prayer, believing. Lack of faith, that prayer doesn't get off the ground. It's a failed launch. So you got to reset yourself. All things you ask in prayer, believing, you'll receive. So that covers a lot of territory, obviously. Matthew 7:7, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Zeteo implies a period of waiting and seeking. Knock, and it shall be opened. So before you enter a home, you knock and you wait until somebody, sooner or later, makes it to the door. They could be indisposed, but they're moving in that direction. Again, this one again. If you lack understanding, ask, and you'll be given the answer. James 1:15. I've had people tell me, I had a question about something. I was doctrinally, biblically, had a question, and it almost was the next Bible class, you answered it. And it clicked. The light bulb went on. Spiritual growth is a process of assimilation of data and information. And with all of your knowledge, get understanding. Be able to apply it to self and to others. Matthew 18:19-20, group prayer, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in their midst. Anyway, hindrances to effective prayer. This will shoot it down. Hindrances. We want to try to avoid those. 1 Peter 3:7, that your prayers may not be hindered. There's things that believers do that can hinder their prayers. STA carnality, running under your STA in this area, can be a hindrance to your prayer. Psalm 66:18. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Pursuing some inappropriate STA activity. It could be a number of things. It's not just, you know, salacious sins. It could be non-forgiveness, etc. So, wrong content. It's not sponsored from sound doctrine. Wrong intent. You're praying from your lust pattern of the sin nature. You have to be careful here. If you're praying from your lust pattern for something that's inappropriate, then that, of course, that prayer is shot down. We also gave you lack of faith. Faith is a powerful thing. This is faith in the active sense. I believe it. He's going to take care of this. Even though I don't see any evidence of it happening right now, I have faith that God's going to take care of this. Lack of faith. And of course, in a home, husband and wife, lack of domestic harmony. The 1 Peter 1 is due to the husband's lack of understanding towards the weaker vessel. It can work. It's a two-way street. Yes, you're going to have differences of opinion, but you got to drop it. You got to get back on track. There's a right way to go, and each party involved, the husband and the wife, needs to know the role that they're to play. And I've gone over this and over this and over this. We've shown how a woman is to handle a negative husband. She isn't to run off, dissolve the marriage. She is to bear up under it and to be an example to him of the truth. You say, well, that isn't fun. Well, it isn't about being fun. It's about a commitment to the relationship and caring about the person, and then God will deal with him. God knows how to pull his horns in. And maybe down the road, he'll see the improvements in you spiritually and make his way to Bible class. Get saved or get on doctrine. Rather than cutting and running and, oh, I'm going to get somebody else and all that stuff. We're to stay the course unless there's something extreme and abusive going on. That's different. Lack of domestic harmony, 1 Peter 3:7. A lack of forgiveness. You don't want to be caught in this. We are to forgive as Christ forgave. And if you do not, if you have to be willing to forgive fellow believers, in life, in time, in a church, offenses will come. People will do offensive stuff. Okay, you can just let it go. If it just keeps going on and they're on your case and doing stuff, you do have a recourse. You can go talk to them about it. And if they keep giving you misery and pain, then you can go talk to the spiritual authorities and they'll call that person in on the carpet. They either knock it off or leave. Again, simply because we do not ask. You have not because you ask not. You didn't ask for it. You don't get it in certain instances. Lack of compassion. You probably know the value of compassion. The compassion of the Lord and the compassion we are to show towards believers. what I got here? Well, lack of compassion. Okay, some things to avoid with regard to prayer. Traditional lingo, thou. I went over that. Vain repetitions, where people repeat over and over again some phrase or word designed to get God's attention. Get to the point, put the prayer up, and you don't have to have some little formula that you run for before God constantly, like they do in some religions. The long, drawn-out prayers of the clergy. You've probably been a victim of that. At some event where you're going to have a meal, and he drones on and on. Shut up. Pray and thank God for the food, and let's get on with it. But this is another way individuals are show-offs. They do this for attention. So the long, drawn-out prayers of the clergy, Matthew 6:5. It was common in Jesus' day. Drone on and on. Get to the point of the situation. If you're praying over your food, Heavenly Father, thank you for this food you provided me with. Sanctify it to my body. In Christ's name, amen. Eat away. There's another place for these other type prayers. There might be some exception, but normally it's you're praying, you're saying grace over the food because you truly appreciate the fact that you're able to eat and God has provided your living grace. And of course, one of my favorite verses with regard to the topic of prayer is that God, the Holy Spirit, takes our prayers, makes sense out of all of them, where we're striving to put up the right things before God, and maybe we're struggling, and so forth. That's the Romans 8:26-27. He makes sense out of all our prayers. Delivers a perfect prayer. He takes up the slack where we lack all the facts pertinent to a given situation, or where we're just merely struggling because we're under a lot of pressure. He perfects the prayer, brings a complete and accurate petition to the throne of grace. See, that's the role of the Holy Spirit in the function of prayer. Even our most intense groaning is translated into a perfect prayer. We're wanting to do the will of God. We're struggling with something. We're under some kind of pressure. And he puts the right prayer up there. The prayers of the Holy Spirit, the prayers the Holy Spirit delivers are preconditioned by searching each one's heart. If you see a person who isn't playing games and is trying to pray for the right things, he searches the hearts. So the information, the proper information is there. So he polishes every true prayer and presents it to God the Son, who in turn intercedes before the Father. I've been over that. That's the protocol within prayer. We pray to the Father, Jesus Christ intercedes, and the Holy Spirit delivers up the prayer. And while that all may seem like a great mystery, it is the way it is. Concluding remarks and observations. Prayer, like all divine good, falls under the diction, action with honor. Prayer is a royal imperative we are to be devoted to. Romans 12:12. Colossians 4:2. And so forth. Again, the local church is to pay for their pastor. The pastor is to pray for the spiritual excellence of right congregation. Certain individuals in the local body have a niche which prevents large amounts of time to be devoted to intercessory prayer. Somebody who is close to being an invalid or whatever restrictions they may have on them. Exhortations on thanksgiving and everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, and so forth and so on. In this regard, we're to be thankful for our food. We are the response of believers to Bible doctrine. I am thankful when I see believers making applications of Bible doctrine individually. Ultimate sanctification, I've given you that. You want to reach maturity. You want to be one of those that shine at the Bema seat. Believers who serve in the plan of God above and beyond under some kind of set of circumstances. The reality behind the Eucharist. One's spiritual gift. If you don't know what your gift is, just keep praying, hang in there, and God will put you in a situation and you may come to the conclusion. Prayers of others, grace, grace giving, past blessings, surpassing grace blessing in phase 3, Bible doctrine, what it provides, establishment chain of command. Concluding verses, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. Psalm 55:16. As for me, I'll call on the Lord, and he will deliver me. Philippians 4:16. Again, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Matthew 21:11. And in everything you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And finally, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, encourage us with regard to this subject in Christ's name. Amen.